You're listening to an audio resource from Redemption Hill Church. This resource is not meant to be a replacement for participation at a local church, but an accessory to the care you're receiving from your own pastors. To learn more about Redemption Hill Church or to give to our ministry, visit redemptionhilldsm.org.
This evening, this meditation is going to be more of a story. I took scripture, in particular, Mark 15, even more specific, verses 33 to 41, and wove scripture into a story. I also took historical facts that are found outside of scripture and wove that into a story. And of course, whenever you write or read a story, you got to use a little creative liberty, right? But we are here today ultimately not to hear a story, but to focus on the cross. And that is absolutely where I will end. Just so you know, if you were at the Christmas Eve service, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, I did something similar. The following is about a man that we do not know much role to play just moments before Jesus was crucified. So I'm focusing on this individual and just kind of creating a story around it. And again, we'll end at the cross. I'm going to pray, and then I'll share this story with you. Heavenly Father, at the end of the day, we want to see your truth. And the truth is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died on a bloody cross. He died to forgive sins. He died to grant eternal life. He died to redeem a people to himself. Those who know you, O God, know that it should have been us on that cross. It should have been us to receive your wrath because of our sin. But Lord, we know Jesus took our place. So even in the remainder of our time here this evening, even as a story is shared, may we constantly be led back to the work of Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So here's the story. Simon arrived in Jerusalem on Sunday with his two children, Alexander and Rufus. The trip to Jerusalem was arduous. In previous years, Simon would sail to the Holy Land to save time. But this year, the inclusion of his two boys made traveling by ship too expensive. Besides, Simon was conscious of not exposing his boys to the crudeness of the sailors. Nonetheless, despite the arduous trip, the three of them had arrived in Jerusalem during the Passover. While Alexander and Rufus missed their hometown of Cyrene, they were mesmerized by the sights and sounds of Jerusalem. Cyrene is a city in North Africa that was a mix of former Greek and developing Roman culture. The town also housed a large Jewish population. It had been years, just a few years before Rufus was born, that Simon converted to Judaism. He left the pantheon of gods of the Greek religion and now serves the one true God, Yahweh. It was a solemn pilgrimage filled with rituals and diet changes. Even though Simon missed the first 2 days of the Passover, he was excited to share this experience with his two sons. The moment they arrived, just to the outskirts of Jerusalem, Simon sensed a tension within the air. The common people were muttering about a man traveling around Israel, teaching and performing miracles. This man had gained a following because disciples were now learning from him. The elevation of a great leader is not new to Judaism. Rabbis rise in the ranks and make a name for themselves and then a following. But this man, they called him Jesus, had no formal education. Further, his followers were a ragtag group of men and women, a tax collector, several fishermen, and a former prostitute. made up this less than desirable nature of the group. Simon had heard about this man, but Cyrene was so far removed from the gossip mill of the Holy Land. Coincidentally, Simon, Alexander, and Rufus arrived on the outskirts of Jerusalem on the same day as the man Jesus. They were staying with a friend in Bethany near the Mount of Olives. As they meandered their way through crowded trails filled with others making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they happened upon a curious scene. A man he had never seen before was riding on a donkey in the direction of the city of David. The donkey plodded along slowly, but intentionally. The donkey seemed to know his mission, and he also seemed to know the man who was riding upon him. The town of Cyrene was known for its horse breeding, and Simon owned several horses. He knew the connection a person can have with a horse, but the connection between the donkey and the man riding on the donkey suggests the man had owned it since its birth, which Simon later learned was not the case. The scene was building as children plucked palm branches and laid them on the road and as the donkey passed. In ancient times, palm branches symbolized goodness and victory, which confused Simon. "What makes this man so good?" he muttered with his children listening on. "And what victory has he won?" Little did he know at the moment that he would receive his answers in due time. One final detail from this scene allowed Simon to put a few more puzzle pieces together. As the crowd laid down palm branches, a chant began to grow. As the chant grew louder and louder, Simon made out what the crowd was saying, and he was stunned. "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The word Hosanna is an expression of praise in Judaism, but calling this man the Son of David has massive implications. Simon and the boys knew that the crowd was effectively calling the man on the donkey the Messiah. Simon had been told that there would be a Messiah coming from the lineage of the great King David. The Messiah would restore the Davidic kingdom that once was a light to the world. The Romans ruled with an iron fist over Jerusalem, and opinions were running hot. The historical people of Israel were tired of being ruled over. Many people were clamoring and praying for a Messiah. Simon and the boys watched the donkey, the man on the donkey, and the crowd proceed to Jerusalem. They took in the scene, but were shocked by the crowd's response. Simon thought to himself, "This Passover will not be like any other." Simon and his two sons finally found themselves at the home of familiar faces. The next 5 days consisted of a Seder meal, the reading of the law, in the retelling of the great Exodus story. The Exodus of the people of God is why Passover is celebrated. That's why everyone came to Jerusalem. Hundreds of years ago, Israel was enslaved in Egypt by Pharaoh. God led his people out of Egypt. But it took an angel of the Lord to pass over Jewish homes that had the blood of a lamb on the doorframe. God promised that the firstborn child would die in the homes that did not have the sign. Not only would an entire generation of Egyptians be wiped out, but Pharaoh would finally let God's people go. Back in Cyrene, Simon had many conversations with his non-Jewish friends about the Exodus story. They would ask him annually why he made the trip to Jerusalem. And they would also ask him why God needed to wipe out an entire generation of people. Simon would always respond with the same answer. almost 400 years of being enslaved in Egypt wiped out multiple generations of Israelites. For several days, stories were shared, acts of gratitude were expressed, and Simon and the boys heard all about the man named Jesus. Simon, Alexander, and Rufus received a crash course on this man. Their host, Malachi, told them more about Jesus than about the Exodus. I will not belabor about what took place during these days, but it is enough to say that Jerusalem was abuzz. As Simon learned from his friend who faithfully attended synagogue, many of the religious leaders were not happy about Jesus being in town. 5 days later, Simon and his boys found themselves milling around the streets of Jerusalem. It was Friday, and the Passover holiday would end in a few days. Suddenly, in the streets of Jerusalem, a large contingent of Pharisees, along with a few Jewish soldiers, were leading Jesus through the streets. Rumors were again flying around, and it was said that the chief priest, elders, scribes, and the entire leadership council agreed to hand Jesus over to Pilate. Then, in front of Simon, Jesus was bound with his hands walking through the streets. Jesus was bound as if he committed a murder. A much different picture than the one Simon witnessed several days ago. Alexander tugged on his dad's sleeve and asked, "Dad, what are they doing to that man?" Simon responded honestly, "I don't know, son." And then Rufus made the astute observation, "From what Malachi was saying, this man Jesus is a good man, even a great man. Our religious leaders feel threatened by his popularity." Rufus was 18 years old, and it shows. His relative innocence allows him to see through the politics and the noise. While Simon did not respond to Rufus, he agreed. It did not take long for the crowd to gather at the location of the local Roman magistrate, Pontius Pilate. At the praetorium, the crowd was being worked up into a frenzy, as if individual common sense was given over to the collective mind of the crowd. Simon and the boys refused to give in to the mind control nonsense, but they watched on, wanting to know what they were going to do with Jesus. The fact that Pontius Pilate was involved meant there could be jail time or death. From a distance, Simon could see that Pilate and Jesus were having a conversation. Jesus looked calm. His face appeared resolute. Pilate looked a bit different. The whole situation was a puzzle to Pilate. The religious leaders hated Jesus, but Pilate had no animosity toward him. There were even rumors that his wife was sympathetic to Jesus. Simon surmised that Pilate was in a tough spot. He clearly did not think Jesus was guilty of a crime, yet to let him go would incite a riot from the Jews. If one thing was unacceptable to the Romans, it was disorder. But Pilate found a way out, or at least he thought so. Pilate had the freedom to release a person from prison at the annual feast. The harsh rule of the Romans resulted in many people being imprisoned, so the release was a grace according to the Romans. And among those in prison was a man who committed murder during the previous insurrection. Pilate was surely thinking that the Jews would not want this man released back into their community. This man's name was Barabbas. With Jesus flanked to the right and Barabbas to the left, Pilate asked the crowd, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" At that moment, the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Barabbas released instead. There were disjointed calls from the crowd, "Release Barabbas! Release Barabbas!" And again, Pilate said to the crowd, "Then what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews?" What the crowd said next shocked Simon and Pilate. the crowd cried out, "Crucify him!" Miffed, Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" Similar thoughts crossed the mind of Simon. But the crowd shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then Pilate released Barabbas to them, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Simon had witnessed more than he expected on this trip to Jerusalem. Lost in the commotion was the need to help his boys process what had just happened. With ease and urgency, Simon grabbed each boy and moved them away from the crowd until he found a quiet spot. He didn't know what to say, so he just blurted out, "What are you thinking?" Alexander and Rufus took a moment to gather their thoughts. Alexander, 16 years old, said to his father, "Nothing makes sense. We are good Jews who value justice and hate injustice. When there is a crime, there are consequences. When there is injustice, the wrongs are made right. It seems to me, Dad, that we just saw an injustice." "I think you're right," said Simon. Simon turned his attention to Rufus. "What are you thinking, son?" "I think there's more for us to see. Dad, you're always telling us about the providence of God. You tell us how God puts people in a particular place and at a particular time. You have taught us to pay attention to the time and place God has us. I think God has us here for a reason. I do not know the reason, but we are here. It is not an accident that we saw Jesus come into Jerusalem. And now the one who was called the King of David is going to be crucified. Father, we need to learn more about this man. We need to be on the path to Golgotha." Golgotha is the place where Romans crucified criminals. It was commonly known as the place of the skull. Alexander nodded his head in agreement, and Simon knew that his older boy had become a man. The next question that needed an answer was, how did they get to Golgotha? It was not hard to find the way, a crowd of people streaming toward Golgotha. Roman soldiers, Jewish leaders, curious onlookers, and supporters of Jesus were among the crowd. Simon and his two sons stopped at the base of the hill. In the distance, he heard the tears of women and the laughter of Roman soldiers. A couple feet away, two men were having a conversation. Rufus made out what they were saying. "I cannot believe what has taken place. John, how can the Son of God be crucified?" The conversation caused Rufus to ponder more about the man named Jesus. At the base to the top of the hill, the crowd settled in. Looking ahead, Simon saw a group of Roman soldiers leading a man who could barely carry a large piece of wood. He was bloodied and whipped. How he could walk was a mystery. But Simon's eyes were locked on Jesus. The question of injustice became a certainty in Simon's head and heart. What he was seeing was not right. As Jesus approached the base of the hill, he fell down near Simon. The lashes on his back caused deep bruising. On Jesus, there were cuts on his back and legs, resulting in tremendous bleeding. The Roman soldiers were too rough on Jesus, which is why he had a hard time carrying his cross. But the Roman soldiers were becoming impatient. Simon took in the gruesome scene, and then two things happened at the same time. Jesus looked at Simon, and Simon sensed that he was looking into his soul. And then a Roman soldier compelled Simon to carry his cross. Simon did not object, and the words of his oldest son went through his head: Providence. Simon would have volunteered to help Jesus if it had been offered. Kneeling down, Simon carefully grabbed the massive crossbeam off the bloody and bruised back of Jesus. Simon took a moment to look back at his sons, and they nodded in approval. Jesus got up to his feet, and walked ahead of Simon. For 3/4 of a mile, Simon carried a large cross that weighed at least 150 pounds. It was the same piece of wood they would nail Jesus to. Step by step, Jesus made his way up the hill, and step by step, Simon followed Jesus. When they finally arrived at the top of the hill, the Roman soldiers took the cross from Simon and laid it on the ground. Simon was quickly forgotten, and he just faded into the crowd that watched at the top of the hill. There were two men already hanging on a cross, and they were going to put Jesus between them. Jesus was then dragged to the cross. They laid him down, and then the hammering began. Bang, 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 as the hammer made contact with the nails. The Romans have mastered the cruel torture of crucifixion. Nails were hammered through the wrists and feet of Jesus. A block of wood was placed at the bottom of Jesus' feet. The block allows the tormented to stand slightly, prolonging the suffering. Simon watched on as Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders mocked Jesus. Simon heard from one person, "Ah, you who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from that cross." The chief priests with the scribes mocked Jesus, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Even one of the criminals next to Jesus mocked him. And then Simon saw something curious. He saw Jesus turn his attention to the other criminal. He could not hear their words, but the other criminal looked relieved and was at peace with his impending death moments away. In God's providence, Simon stood at Golgotha, and he knew that Jesus was more than a good teacher and prophet. He could not explain his conclusion, but like one of the thieves that hung next to Jesus, his conclusion was settling into his head and heart. The rumors were true. Jesus is the Son of God. In the days ahead, Simon would learn more about Jesus Christ. Simon learned that Christ is the ultimate sacrifice for his sins. Because of a bloody cross, redemption took place. 50 days later, the promised Holy Spirit descended upon over 100 people, and among that group was a man from Cyrene, Acts 2:10. That is the end of my story. And while I've certainly weaved in scripture into the story, these final words come from Mark 15, verse 33-39. See if I can get them up there for you. Well, that's the next one. And I quote, "And when the 6th hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled up a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the centurion of the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
You're listening to an audio resource from Redemption Hill Church. This resource is not meant to be a replacement for participation at a local church, but an accessory to the care you're receiving from your own pastors. To learn more about Redemption Hill Church or to give to our ministry, visit redemptionhilldsm.org.